Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, brothers and sisters. What a privilege it is to feast around God's word. We are grateful for the grace He has granted us to come into His banquet, and He has commanded us to come and dine. We bless the name of the Lord, and we would like to just say a word of prayer as we continue from where we left off on the life and experiences of Simon Peter. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray this day that as we look into the life and experiences of the great but humble servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, even Simon Peter, that you guide our hearts and thoughts. Help us not to think of man above that which is written. Though we look at Peter, the life of Peter, we do not want to see Peter, but we want to see Christ, the life of Christ being reflected even also in our daily walk with you. Help us to understand how to walk in your grace, and help us to see no man save Jesus only. This we pray and ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So quickly, we would like to consider the calling of Peter once again, and how that every encounter that he had with Jesus was a building block, a step for the task that was ahead of him. Where Peter was but a fisherman and maybe not a cultured person in terms of character, and there was a lot of things he needed to learn and unlearn as he followed Jesus. And we also understand that perhaps all that he knew how to do was fishing, and we wouldn't think so much about whether there would be a Messiah or no, except that one day his brother Andrew came calling him and said, "Come, I found that long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied many years, 1,000 years ago." And he, being curious, wanted to go see for himself. There he received a change of name. That was a starting point for him, though he believed. But just like every one of us, or some of us, he still went back fishing. Perhaps if he was drinking, he was still drinking. If he was cursing while fishing, he was still doing. He went back to his life while following Jesus, while attending Jesus' fellowship. But one day there came an experience, and this was the turning point for him. And that experience we see in the book of Luke, chapter 5, from verse 1 to 10, while Jesus came to preach close to where his working place, his business place, and finding Peter was not, most of them that were fishing were not there because they've toiled all night and they were trying to wash their nets, some maybe trying to get their last catch, and they could find nothing. After Jesus was done preaching, he said to Peter in verse 4, "Why don't you just launch your nets into the deep, launch out into the deep, and then lay down your nets and you'll get a draught?" And Peter must have looked at Jesus and said, "Are you being serious? I am the experienced one here, and I've moved through the night and yet into the deep sea, and there I didn't find any fish, not even a catch. And now you are telling me just at the shore that I should just lay down my net? Do you find fishes around here?" But something, maybe others also must have mocked, but something left in the heart of Peter. He knew that the same man who had told him his name and giving him a new name, perhaps if he can just trust his word. And he said, "Master, at thy word." And when he did that, his net break, because he could not even drag out, even with his partners, his companies, they could not take out the fish from the even from the sea to the shore. And while many people were amazed by this particular act, Peter was not seeing those fishes. While people were rejoicing for their business, how many sales they will make, Peter was concerned about his soul, about the words of a man that could do the impossible. And there was his most notable conviction. He cried and said, "Leave me, Master. I don't want to be around you. I find myself unworthy." That is the word of a man that has met with Christ. He sees himself as not worthy. He needs the Redeemer. He needs the Savior. And there, Jesus said, "Do not worry. Your sins are forgiven. You will not be needing to be catching fish. You will catch men." Amen. So this was a turning point in the life of Peter, so that when Peter may not have understood so much because he was not learned and educated, but one thing he was sure, he knew this was the Messiah. He was convinced in his heart. He was convicted. He knew. And that is why when Jesus created an offense by his preaching in John chapter 6, and he was telling the people that they should drink, instead they drink his blood and eat his flesh, they would not have eternal life. This was an offense because the Jewish people, blood was not even to be, they could not kill a particular animal and eat that animal with the blood in it. They have to drain the blood out. And yet, he's telling them to drink his blood. Many left because they saw an offense. But what about Peter? What happened? He told them, "Why are you still here? Won't you also leave?" And Peter said to him, "Where do you want us to go? Except back to you who have the words of eternal life." So indeed, Peter was convinced. But that particular encounter set a pace for Peter for more encounters, for more experiences. Peter learned to trust in the word of Jesus Christ. And we can see that also in Matthew chapter 14, when after the feeding of the multitude, Jesus told them, "Okay, you can use the boat, go to the other side, I'll come meet with you, I'll join you while I go to pray." So he went to have his personal time, moment with God, and they went into the boat, and 12 of them, off they went into the sea, and they sailed for hours until it was the fourth period of the night, the fourth watch of the night rather, which is the morning. It was still dark, and then there was a severe storm. It was so much that they were so afraid and thought they were going to die. But while they were still trying to manage the situation, here come the Savior coming to save them, walking on the sea. Of course, they had not even noticed him. They became so afraid. They were so much afraid that the presence of this unknown being, whom they thought was a spirit, was more overwhelming than the troubled sea itself. And that is where they could not manage the situation any longer, and they cried out. They thought they were going to die. But Jesus, reaching out as usual, said, "Fear not, it is I." Peter, recognizing the voice, they all did, but they were still in disbelief. But Peter, being curious, said to him, "Master, if truly it is you, there's one thing I've learned, there's one thing I kept during, I observed during the last encounter. Your words never fail. If it is you, speak that same word. Command me to come. Bid me come." And Jesus said, "Okay, come." And Peter, upon that particular word, that particular command, he stepped on that word. He casted his entire trust, weight upon the word of Jesus Christ. And here he was, bouncing on the water. But that faith was so strong. However, Every of our faith must be tested. The faith that Jesus wants to see when he appears is the one that has been tested. As the same Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, the trial of our faith is more precious than gold, even than fine gold that is tried in furnace. This is what is honorable and pleasing to God. So his faith was tried. He was tested. And there was a boisterous wind, maybe stronger than the one that he faced initially. And then Peter could not hold up. He was distracted and was afraid. And in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 14, the Bible said that Peter was afraid and began to sink. And when he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately, quickly picked him up. And taking him back, he whispered a word to him. He said, "Why did you doubt?" That word sank deep into the heart of Peter. And he knew he had a challenge that he needed to deal with. The aspect of doubt. He needed to deal with doubt. So while everyone, because when Jesus came into the boat, the storm was calm. While everyone was yet celebrating that particular miracle, Peter was more concerned about the fact that something he needed to deal with, the doubt. So Jesus taught Peter by these experiences. But these also did not only lay the foundation for another experience to come, for another things to correct in the life of Peter, but also was a reflection of his exploit, Peter's exploit, his fall, and his restoration. Remember, he was able to make exploit by walking on the sea, but he fell by sinking, and he rose when he cried up, and when he cried out, Jesus restored him. This was a reflection of what was to come in his later days. So we see one more example as Peter continued his walk with Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was teaching his disciples about how to deal with offenses and letting them know that offenses will come and how to handle these offenses, especially to forgive. And he knew that Peter had that problem. As a man, it is difficult to forgive. And Peter had grudges, perhaps, with many people. There have been a lot of offenses surrounding him. And he told them that if they ask, and that whatever they bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever they lose on earth will be lost in heaven. And if they shall agree concerning a thing, not doubting, again, doubting comes to play. He said that these things shall be done to them. But here, there was a problem. Peter knew that he cannot attain this particular height until he deals with the act of unforgiveness. So he quickly asked Jesus, "Master, this forgiveness you're talking about, these offenses, how many times will someone offend me, that I should forgive him? Perhaps seven times in a day, which is so difficult for me to do, Master." And Jesus said to him, "No, Peter. If you must forgive, even though the person offends you 70 times daily." And Peter knew that this is not possible. It means that we must always forgive. Peter, you might have left that meeting unhappy because he felt this is not possible to do. But there was an encounter. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus had just finished cursing a fig tree that he could not eat from. And the following day, while they passed by, Jesus was busy with other things, but Peter noticed that the fig tree had withered. And curiously, he ran to Jesus and said to him, "Master, Master, did you notice that that tree you cursed just yesterday evening? It is morning, not up to 24 hours. It has withered." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Have faith in God." He said, if you can only believe, you can even say to this mountain, go hence here, stay there, and all you ask will happen. He said, all you need to do is that when you pray, he said, believe. But when you stand to pray, in verse 20 to 25, when you stand to pray, make sure you forgive. Those words, those experiences, those encounters shaped the life of Peter. He knew that this experience, for him to have been, Jesus was able to curse a fig leaf and it withered immediately. And here, the only criteria is if he can believe. And the only one of the criteria for believing for him, Peter, was that he has to deal with a particular problem in his life. And that was unforgiveness. He needed to forgive. So every time Peter walked with Jesus, every experience, people were amazed by the miracles Jesus did, but Peter was careful to know how these experiences, how this encounter would affect and shape his work with Christ. I pray that as we continue looking at the life of this dedicated disciple of Jesus Christ, that we will be able to mirror our life and see how our experiences and our walk with God, with Christ, shape our lives as well. The Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name. Amen.